Now I'm going to invite you to pray one more time.
A lot of prayer just now.
Gracious God, as we move into our time of sharing the word and hearing from you, may your spirit open our ears and our hearts to hear from you more fully. May we know you more deeply. And let my words be faithful to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, I'm going to try not to cough through all of this. So I apologize again.
Yes, that's going on in my head. So it is Advent. A few years ago, there's someone named Bishop Will Willimon, which if you're Methodist, particularly of the clergy type, you know who Bishop Willimon is. He's kind of a big name bishop who's done a lot of things. He's worked at the Duke University Chapel, which is actually a fairly prestigious appointment. And that's about all you need to know about him for this. But a few years ago, when he was still pastoring a congregation before he became a bishop, he preached a sermon for the first Sunday of Advent, which opened by sharing a story. He had taken a survey of his congregation, and unsurprisingly, what they wanted most from him in a sermon was something that reminded them of their Christian responsibility and to be motivated to use their gifts and talents to respond. Hey, that sounds not bad, right? Well, for the first sermon of Advent, he decided to give them a list of all of the things that they needed to do. It was a long list. I'm not going to read all of them here, because that would just take a whole bunch of time. But it was a long list of little things and big things. Little things like be polite. And big things like endure racism, sexism, classism, ageism, rheumatism, and ethnocentrism. And then he added that you should accomplish all of that by next week. And when you come back, I'm going to have another list for you. Now, did you notice anything missing there? You didn't get the full list, so I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. God was missing from this list. Or at least seemed more of an actor than that. Bishop Willimon's point was that we sometimes get wrapped up in something that at one point, it was considered a heresy. We get busy living our Christian faith, and we cross over into the heresy of trying to save ourselves, which, for those that are keeping score at home or theology nerds, is called Pelagianism. And all you need to know about that is it means that we're trying to save ourselves. And then church becomes a weekly boost that helps us to keep moving on in earning our own salvation. It's really, the reason it's a heresy is because it replaces Jesus with ourselves and says, I can save myself. I can do what I need to do to earn my salvation. Now, trying to earn one's own salvation is not a good thing. Not because it's bad to try to earn as much as it is, you're just not going to be able to do it. It's impossible. It's not possible for anyone to earn their salvation. Not to mention, salvation isn't something you earn. It's a free gift of God. And so this approach of getting our weekly shot of motivation to keep doing, well, it can lead us into thinking that we can do it all ourselves. Now, that's partly why I think the Advent season is so important. Because for the next few weeks, we take some time and we do things a little different than the rest of the year. In particular, there's a unique commonality to all of the texts that are assigned for each one of the weeks. And it's that they're not really about us at all. You know, there are scriptures that are clearly about, like, you should do this. For example, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are pretty clear instructions. These are things that we're supposed to do. These texts, this Isaiah text that I just read, these texts are not really about us. They're about God. And what God is longing to do in the world, what God is calling on us to envision in the world, what God is calling us to hope and believe in. And so this season is to remind us to do the opposite of maybe what our natural inclination is. Slow down and weights. To recognize our inability to solve all the world's problems and instead focus ourselves on God and the hope that comes in Jesus, you know, the actual Savior of the world. Because if you try to take on the world as the world's Savior, you're going to fail. Because none of us can be Jesus. The season invites us to pause, to take time and ask, where am I trying to save the world? We also live in a very do-something culture. To quote the Shawshank Redemption, we live in a culture of get busy living or get busy dying. A culture that commands that we are focused very much on doing pretty much all the time. I mean, let's be honest. Again, if you open up a social media feed for any of the apps and you look through, even when we're doing nothing, we're taking pictures of the things we're doing, even though we're doing nothing. So we're actually doing things when we're doing nothing. And so even our nothing times become something. And all of the things we're doing feel like we're always needing to be doing more. And those social media feeds also tend to make us feel like, well, if I'm not doing something right now, I probably should be doing something right now because everybody else is doing something right now. So then we take all of our time and we're doing and we're going and we're, well, I think you get the point. It's not that doing is such a bad thing, especially if we're focused on doing good. Except sometimes we need to pause and wait. We need to pause and breathe. Pause, ponder, contemplate. Sometimes it's just good to have that rest. That's what Advent builds into the church here. It's inviting us to remember that we are the hands and feet, but God is still working. God is the one ultimately nudging the world towards what God has envisioned for us. And sometimes, as much as it is not fun or what we want to be doing, it involves waiting. The text we have this evening from Isaiah actually gives us one of those iconic imageries that Christianity loves to point out where God is pointing us all to. This imagery of beating plowshares, our swords into plowshares, of our world taking all of our weapons and turning them into things of peace, because we've moved into a new era of peace. No longer will we take up the learning of war. Something that, unfortunately, we have to wait for. I mean, we actively work towards that. We take part in working with God in creating the world of peace, but it's something we have to wait until God has finally broken through in that unprecedented peace that creates the opportunity for us to be swords into plowshares and to truly lay down arms, to truly live in a world where all can be together in peace and harmony. We're called to wait, remember, to focus also on the fact that I'm not responsible for ending world peace, or ending world war. I am responsible for helping to end war, but I'm not solely responsible. That's the whole body of Christ that works together towards this. And sometimes we're called to wait. And also to remember that we need God. Now, all that being said about waiting and how much I think waiting is a good thing, I also have an ADHD brain, and I need pretty instant gratification, or I get distracted. I'm sure that's not a surprise to anyone who's ever listened to me speak, or even just tonight. And the truth is, we as a culture aren't much better. Most things in life today are working towards instant gratification. I was thinking about this over the break when I needed to order diapers. And, you know, I was like, oh man, It's the day before Thanksgiving. We're going to need more diapers before the end of the week, at least before Sunday. And we've got a diaper fund, our Amazon wish list from our baby shower, and we're trying to use that up before we go out and buy it ourselves. And so I'm trying to buy diapers from Amazon, and I remembered that I needed them, and I'm like, oh goodness, it's the day before Thanksgiving. Well, they were here on Friday. Day after Thanksgiving. Because we live in a world where things are delivered in 2 days. I also very much remember a world in which when you ordered something, it was at least a week. Or when you mailed something, it was at least a week. If you ordered something, it was probably going to be 2, if not 4 weeks until you received that item. And yet today, that waiting 2 days, or heaven forbid, it's going to take 3 or even 4 days. And I'm a little bit like, oh my gosh, this is never going to get here. And it wasn't so long ago that I was having to wait at least a week. We live in a world of instant gratification. But then maybe that's also what I love about this season, is because it invites me to do the opposite. Because Advent says to us that Christmas is in 4 weeks. And you have no choice but to wait. Because Christmas is the actual, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are not going to be for 4 weeks. We're preparing, we're getting ready, but Christmas is not here yet. It tells us Jesus is coming once again, but we have to wait and anticipate and reflect on Christmas. And maybe what I like most about it is, unlike Lent, where we're called to reflect on how we need to recognize our sin and recognize the parts of us that are where we feel burdened, and maybe how bad we are, this season isn't about that. This season is about, it's not reflecting on how bad we are, how much we sin, or how much we're not good enough, or how much we really need Jesus. Oh, I don't think that's always the things we should ever be focusing on. That sometimes what the church tells us, this season is actually traditionally about peace and hope and love and joy. And it says these great and good things, these are what you focus on. And sometimes waiting can feel like a burden. The thing you have to get through before you can get to the thing you really want to do. But this waiting gets to be different. An invitation to slow down, to actually enjoy waiting, as crazy as that sounds. And so allow ourselves just to soak in it. I think that's what I really love about it, is it asks me, doesn't require me to do this, but it asks me to consider slowing down and soaking in before we dive right into the joy of Christmas and the y'all have heard me talk about it because I've done it tonight already, but I like to talk a lot about how it's not Christmas yet. I especially don't like Christmas before Thanksgiving, and if you want to hear more about my whole diatribe on why that is, I'm glad to talk to you after the service. But the truth is, it's more about me not wanting to rush Christmas. And I also just like to get people. So there's that little piece. It is something, though, that I really believe in as a pastor. And I don't want us to miss out. I don't want us to miss out on the season of pausing and breathing and anticipating and waiting. We can get caught up in changing the world. Again, not necessarily a bad thing, but forget that Jesus, the baby born in a barn, didn't come to just put us to work. Jesus came to change our lives, help us find peace and love and hope and joy. That comes in swords being turned into plowshares, but it also comes in us. That way Advent is reminding us to remember to pause, to savor. If you've ever done cooking, think about it like the way you can have a good flavor right away, but sometimes if you're willing to wait, to let things simmer, to let things build, you can build a depth of flavor that is so much better. And you know what? Christmas is just like that, because Christmas all on its own is great. What if we allow it to savor and simmer and build? How much more can it mean for us if we allowed that time for Advent to simmer in our hearts? How much more can it mean if we pause to breathe in the hope and joy and peace and love? I heard an interesting thought this week that asked what it would be like if Christmas came not on December 25th, but with a bit more conditional and hard to predict time frame, if it came like the first snowfall of winter. Now, my first thought actually when I heard this was that that would mean Christmas would never come in some places like where I grew up in South Georgia, where it almost never snows. That would be really sad. And it would mean that in some places, we would already be past Christmas. There have been several years in my time living up here in D.C. where we've had snow as early as October, so Christmas would have been already gone past us. It certainly would change the way we give gifts, because I don't know how many of you procrastinate on buying gifts, but if you procrastinate, well, you wouldn't really be able to, because you wouldn't have that last minute, because you wouldn't know when the minute was coming. That last minute could come as quick as a few hours, or maybe even no notice at all. Now, I'll be honest, that also sounds a little bit of a whole bag of anxiousness, especially for those doing church work. You know, at moment's notice, we had to have a Christmas Eve service ready to go, but suddenly it was Christmas. But then there's another part of it that imagine every time the skies clouded over and the temperatures dropped, there was that pregnant moment of expectation where everybody was like, is it? Christmas now? Is it going to be today? Everybody's waiting and watching. Everyone collectively holding their breath and waiting for that first snowflake to fall. Watching for that first snowflake that indicates Christmas is here. And with each time it doesn't snow, the anticipation and expectation building a little more. And then when the day finally comes, we'll be going about our day and unexpectedly joy breaks out during our lunch hour as the first snowflakes fall. Or maybe we wake up and find that Christmas has come while we were sleeping, and no matter what way it comes, everyone tuning in to hear the official announcement that yes, in fact, the snow has fallen, and that means Christmas is here, and indeed the celebration has begun. That would be a very strange way to practice Christmas, but it would force us to experience each year the weight and anticipation, because we couldn't expect how long the wait would be. It would force us to sit in the wonder and the mystery. The time and the hour are coming when we herald the birth of the Savior once again. Imagine if we waited for the first snowfall. We were prepared. I mean, we wouldn't be caught sleeping or procrastinating or putting off. It means we have to be ready. We never know quite when this season will come. What if we made this Advent season, made that our goal? To treat it like we don't know when Christmas is coming, and so we have to be ready now. Take time in our own hearts. And again, I understand that this is a busy time of year, especially as students. But to find a way to sit in the anticipation and contemplate the wonder and mystery of God. What if that becomes where we set our hearts this season? Where will our hearts be when Christmas does finally come? We put down our doing for a moment and dwelt in the waiting. Find the answer to that in this Advent season.